And we're live.
Hey, hey, people. What's going on? It still seems like we're off air. Are we off air? Are we on?
Hey, we're live now.
Hey, now we're live. What's up, guys? You're in for another episode of Masters of the Galaxy podcast. I'm Brian. That's John. And you're in a, I don't know, passenger side, I guess, for the next hours or so. What's going on, man?
I don't know, I'm hoping we're going to get through an episode tonight.
Yeah, we'll see if my stomach allows it.
Yeah, hopefully. How you feeling?
I feel like crap, man.
Oh, I don't know. Sorry to hear, man.
Change of weather or something.
But, yeah, gets everybody around this time of year.
I know. So let's jump into it, man. Let's speaking of Masters and different holidays.
And, what if?
Yeah, like a what if situation.
We need like a Scooby Doo, like.
Yeah. So Doug brought up Thanksgiving. I was thinking Valentine's Day.
Oh.
I was thinking maybe we can get the He-Man Tila connection going. You know.
You know, I always wondered about that.
You know,
it was always
because that was like a big thing back in the day too. Like a lot of cartoons had Valentine's Day specials, like. You know, not so much Thanksgiving. You know, you did like in the 60s with the Peanuts and things like that. But
well, you had that in like after school specials.
I always loved those.
I'd like to be like a spin off like He-Man after school special, like Out of Eternia, like modern day on the street.
That'd be pretty cool.
Like when they take the Family Guy and they turn them into like actual like real people or something.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so much you can do with that property if you wanted to spoof it or. As people do, as you've seen. I just saw that new Always Sunny in Eternia, whatever it was.
What was that?
It's this new little thing. I can't remember the company that did it. I only watched like an intro clip. I don't know if it was any more than that. But it was like a spinoff of Only Sunny in Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Right.
But it's Always Sunny in Eternia.
Oh,
and it takes them in. And if you've ever seen the show, you know some of the characters. It's pretty funny. There's Danny DeVito was Ram Man. Like a little red man. That was my favorite one. That was the best one. And then they had, I can't remember, it's the Mick something brothers, like the weird incest family. And it was the Mick Skeletors.
Really?
Like Skeletor and the Evil Crew. Like, it was like dumb for like the first minute. But that when I saw that come in, like Danny DeVito came in as Ram Man. Like, and then the characters of the Mick Skeletor, I started cracking up. So that was cool. I don't know if it's like a full episode or something, but I just watched a quick trailer. It was all right.
What was it on YouTube?
Yeah, it was on YouTube. It was like a Facebook link.
Oh, okay. I'll check it out.
Been sitting in airports all day, so.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
been making silly pictures of us and watching YouTube.
Yeah, that's a good picture. It looks like we're, like, scared on the front page, like the front seat of a crazy roller coaster.
I always try to use stupid pictures, man. It's got to have fun.
Yeah. No, not
so
a
anyway,
can't,
back can't to our holiday stuff. Sorry about that.
Yeah, so, you know. You know, Thanksgiving, I think, would be all right. I think you'd have, like, you know, like this huge attorney and spread of some crazy animal instead of a turkey on the table or, you know.
The roast beast.
Exactly. Yeah. Pass the roast beast. You know, and then you have Chef Allen come out with some gigantic cake or something.
That's his name, Chef Allen. Yeah. Didn't Skeletor, who was it that was... It was like one of the first two episodes or something like that. Chef Allen was like Skeletor or someone in disguise.
Yeah, I think I think Skeletor used him as a disguise. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. We can have him come in, same type of premise.
Oh, man.
Instead of the turkey, it's the, you know, the Havoc staff.
Imagine that.
Oh,
it'd
be great.
The Havoc staff.
I like the spoof stuff, so it's pretty funny seeing the Geico commercial.
Oh yeah, it's the best. It's with today's technology, you can pull it off. You know, it's without a doubt, they pull it off. The Geico commercial is actually good. Is that Alan Oppenheimer? Is that his voice?
I don't know.
It sounds a lot like it.
Yeah, it's very good. I didn't check it out to see who actually did it, but it's I like it. I like the banter. You know.
Yeah, no, it sounds good. Like, you know, they got the Filmation music
It sounds great. One-liners.
Like yeah. And you have, of course, Skeletor with his one-liner, and he gets away.
That's a pretty good one.
It was good. That was the day that I found out about it. It was funny. You know, we're all looking for it. And actually, it was up on the page The one place I didn't look, John Atkin put it up. I didn't even see it. I'm searching YouTube everywhere. I couldn't find it. My friend's like, I saw it. I swear to God, I saw it. And I'm like, all right. I believe you.
Now I see it on movies. Now I see, before a movie, now I see it on it's on 6 times a day.
All the time. Yeah. It's constantly on. It's crazy. It's good. I mean, you got that, the supermarket one.
Yep. The supermarket one's great. The
Dirty Dancing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Love that one.
Good. Yeah. It's good to see that come back and use it. I mean, it's good just to see Masters out there. I mean, it's good that they're still using it. They didn't forget about it.
No, and that's kind of what we brought up in the group chat. We were talking about topics of starting to see Masters of the Universe now more on a wide, marketing scale. Now seeing it on TV after so many years, 2001, 2002.
Yeah.
And at that point, I brought up to Doug. I said, I was thinking about it the other night. I'm excited that there's a new movie coming out, and but at the same time, and then hearing some of that information about maybe, they're holding off the new lines to go full retail again.
See, that scares me, man, because how are they going to be able to pull that off? I mean, I like the online thing because, you're guaranteed to get everybody. As much as I enjoyed and loved the hunt and making the connections and, waiting for the truck, what day is the truck coming? And getting there or, getting one of the workers to put it to the side for you and, sell them a 20.
Exactly.
I miss it, and I am now I like the sub. I do. I think it's just take my money and give me everything. I like that. I don't have to worry. I'm going to get it all. I know I'm going to get it eventually. I mean, I paid for these figures over a year ago. We still haven't gotten them.
I still haven't gotten mine. So,
but we're going to get them. So I like that. I mean,
no, I do. No, go ahead.
Good. Go.
No. Like I said, I think it was Brian Flynn who had mentioned it in another podcast. It was going to be the 5.5-inch vintage style that we're going to go back to shelves. So that's like I said, I'm excited. But at the same time, like you're saying, after doing this last year and a half of holy shit, figures sell out, then all figures go to scalpers, then the $25 figures,
$90 figures.
Yeah, the Filmation He-Mans were just $40. Now they're up to $200 again. The Rodar and Twistoid, all that stuff. It's like, oh sweet, we get them. People sell them for $400, and all of a sudden they re-release them again. It's like, well, son of a bitch,
I know.
Maybe I just spent $400, and 6 months later you're releasing them again. Same thing with the Anti-Attorney He-Mans.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing too is is the quality going to be as good? What are we going to get with them? I mean, it's a basic. Are we going back to basics? Are they going to just one figure, one weapon, two a shield and a sword, or are we going to get? Well, if it's the classic vintage whatever figures, I mean, you can only expect a few weapons at most, if that. I mean. But I'm talking the classics. If they're gonna do classics in retail, that scares me because that's what I mean. Because I can't see 30, 40, 50, whatever they are, whatever they're going for.
Yep.
I can't see that selling good in stores. And I honestly can't see Toys R Us agreeing to that after they've been snubbed with the 2002 the fiasco and then the two packs, being stuck on the shelves for a long time.
get your what was it? Aquaman, or who was it?
Aquaman and Merman. they were on those shelves forever, and I'm like, all right, I'll wait for clearance, I'll get another one, whatever. And they never went on clearance. So I was like, what the I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, it's Aquaman and freaking Merman. Who cares?
I paid out the nose for some waffles. We did waffles and I did the two packs. I did the He-Man. I did the Skeletor. I did the Battle Armor, Faker.
Wow!
I got a hold of one of those. Wow! And it was ridiculous. They were selling on eBay for $350.
The Faker, yeah. Oh yeah.
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 $250 or $300. I was like, my God,
Yeah. I remember the day they went on sale. I was able to get I think 6 or 8 of them they sold.
That's awesome.
And I was able to hook a lot of people up, man. You know, I got two for myself, one to open, one to put away, and the rest I sold to, you know, people who needed them.
That's cool, man. That's very cool of you to do. And that's that brings up another cool thing. We're just doing that in some of our groups. I've been seeing some people posting, hey, for Christmas, some like these in the great unboxing. Hey, these cool things, you know, for my daughter or something that no one else can get. I saw some guy, you know, I picked this up, I shipped it to you, and I got it. He sold it to him for retail and shipping.
Yeah, that's what you should do, man. I mean, listen, you're helping people out.
Absolutely.
That's what I did that with all the two packs, the Toys R Us two packs, especially for the people overseas. They couldn't get their hands on it, and it so you know it's basically United States, whatever they're called. You know, it's just here. Yeah. It wasn't anywhere else. So you know, a lot of people reached out to me, and I was like, yeah, you know, if I can get them, I get them for you. And they were like, well, how much do you? I'm like, just pay for everything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was like, you know, there's plans for more to come. If you want, I'll hold on to them and ship them all at once, so it saves you on shipping. You know, and you know, they were like, "You'll do that?" I'm like, "Yeah." I mean, it's not a big deal. You know, I put it in a room, and I'm not here to rip off people. If I'm,
dude, it's
the only thing I ask is if God forbid it happens, help me. You know, like
yeah, exactly.
You know, if this comes out in Germany or England or whatever the case is. Hook me up, man.
I just had it happen with the Wind Raiders that went back on sale. I tried to get them the first time they went to $12, missed out on it.
They went to $12.
They were $12 on, I think it was Walmart, free
really?
Shipping.
Really?
Yeah. And then I missed out on it. I got one from a friend. Guy sent it to me from the group for free.
Wow.
You know,
nice.
Open one. But I'm a mint on card guy. I like to have things mint on card. One of the group members, I was like, you know, if anybody has them. It's like, yeah, dude, I got it. He got me one for $12 plus shipping. I got it for under $20 bucks.
That's awesome.
Mitten box shipped to my house, dude. And like I said, that's something I've seen starting across some of the groups I'm involved in, some, you know, Galaxy, some of the other groups.
Yeah.
I'm starting to see that more and more. It's really cool to see that people aren't trying to rip people off. You're always going to have that. There's people that want to make a buck. That's
oh,
great.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the world. No one's oblivious to it. I'm not ignorant to it, but it's really cool to see it kind of spreading, especially around the holidays, too.
Oh, yeah,
same thing
with
the SNES Classics. I picked one up, and I'm looking for them. They're coming out around here for a few people, and I'm trying to hook them up as I get them. Same thing.
Yeah.
Cost.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a nice thing to do. I mean, like I said, the pay it forward, you know.
Absolutely.
When I do things, I'm not looking to, you know, make a buck off of it or whatever. I'm here to help. And in turn, I'm just asking, like I said, if it happens that I can't get it and you can, you know, but that's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
You know, I have a couple of friends that go to San Diego, and, you know, I always buy them stuff that get me stuff. You know, like you get me one, I get you one. You know, I'll buy you one because, you know, that's just the way I am. And, you know, I think kindness goes longer, farther than, you know, being greedy or whatever. And it's just really nice to do. And it helps people. And cause I mean, I've been to cons and I've had plenty of people ask me, and I never asked for anything in return. But you know, a couple of people didn't say anything. A couple of people did say, you know, I'll get you this. And you know, it's nice, but, you know, it's nicer if everybody would be as nice as that, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not looking for, you know, this huge thing, slap on the back, but
no,
just put it out there, you know? I don't.
But keep it in the community spirit, part of the group. Like I said, you know, the waffle groups and stuff, to me, it feels like family.
Yeah.
The groups I'm involved in, the people I know, it feels like family to me. It doesn't feel like this cold, I'm a number in this verse, you know? I feel like.
Yeah.
What I'm part of is very cool. It's very special. I know everybody.
Is. You know, it definitely has that aspect of like a family, because you look out for people. Like, you know, if there's certain things that come out and there's people that always have access to, you know, a phone or the internet or whatever at that time, you know, you can always rely on them or whatever. But You'll have your scalpers or your bad guys.
Yeah, I mean, that happens.
Too. It happens. Well, it does happen.
But what else you see, too, is really cool is people have been – I see it all the time. People, as soon as something goes on sale, like the Filmation He-Mans or the Maddie sales, they're posting links right up on the group pages. Hey, this is out right now at this point.
Yeah.
Get it.
Yeah. I know.
Instead of going, hey, let me grab 10 of those.
Right. So. Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, there were times where I stumbled across that. I forget, and I'm like, great. You know, that's awesome. Thanks, man. You know, like, total reminder. Like,
your mind goes, you forget. Ass.
Yeah, I mean, with those Maddie sales and stuff, you know, I forget, especially during the Christmas time. Your mind is everywhere, shopping. You forget. Yeah. I remember, I forget what figure it was, but I forgot, and it went up. And thank God I was on, you know, whatever site it was or face page it was, and I was like, oh, shit, I got to get this on. It's up right now, you know? Thank God I was, you know, totally forgot.
Stumbled into it.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's cool, man. I want to say, and like I said, I want to say thank you to everybody who's been doing that and all the people, like I said, who've helped us out and to continue to help others. So let's keep that going, you know?
Yeah, it's something that it's – I don't know. I you know, I don't really go to other, I don't know, toy lines, websites or whatever. But, I don't know if they do it in those – in that community. But I know, it is picking up more here, and it's definitely the way to go. It's just a nicer thing for people. And it's a heads up for the people that post things like that.
Continue.
And then, yeah, continue. Keep it up.
It's noticed, man. It's respected and it's noticed.
You definitely have burnouts like me that forget, and you know, with things like that, definitely helps. Definitely help. And you know, it's just really nice that the people that do things like that. It's really nice. It keeps it's just a nice gesture, you know.
Absolutely.
You don't have a lot of that today. You know, when you do come across stuff like that, it's awesome.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
Like you said, pay it forward, man. It's good to see, and like I said, I'm proud to be associated with people that do that. So, back to the 5.5-inch figures and the vintage style going to retail shelves. I was mentioning to Doug, and you probably saw some of it. My biggest concern was when Star Wars, that property was bought by Disney. All of a sudden,
right?
I love Star Wars. Don't get me wrong. Love Star Wars. I love seeing Star Wars everywhere, but I don't collect Star Wars, but I like seeing it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, dude, I saw Wookiee Ziploc bags. I saw, shit you should never see. Excuse my language. Like, I was saying, Doug, that kind of concerns me. Like, if Masters hits like that again with a new movie coming out, when that comes out, you know, is it going to be like that? Is it going to be like... I don't know. My phone charge was Master Universe. My, you know, every single thing, Master Universe condoms. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I'm a merchandise guy, so I know you are. I love stuff like that.
That's why I want to talk about it.
I think stuff like that's great. You know, even today, there's still stuff that I stumble upon from the 80s that I've never knew they made or whatever. You know, this at least twice a year. It's like, wow, really? Like, but yeah, I think that stuff is really good. I like it. Some of it could be annoying. Yeah, like a Chewbacca, you know, Ziploc bag
or cling wrapper. I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a little overkill, and I hope they don't do things like that.
They do. But I've seen it.
Yeah, I know. But I you know, it's more than figures. Figures are cool, but you know, more than that is good. You know, I mean. There's only so many posters and things you can put on the wall, so I like merchandise. Yeah, I think it's cool. I do too.
I'm definitely a memorabilia guy. I, like I said, I love the vintage, and I got my cake toppers over here.
Yeah,
I got the packaging.
Yeah.
I got my banks. I love that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I can't get enough.
I was just thinking about it the other night. Like I said, I was just going to bed, and I was like, "This is exciting, but is it going to like cheapen? Like when it gets so commercial, you know? Like you said, it's just everything, you know." I don't like to say I enjoy the hunt and talking to people and getting hooked up online, but what happens when it's just everywhere? Like everywhere.
It could get crazy.
I hope it does.
It could get crazy, but in all honesty, I don't see it happening. I just maybe not at first. I guess they'll have to test the waters and see how active people really are that want things like that, that are really crazy about Masters. Because honestly, there's people that, I'm a fan, you're a fan, but you know, they still make figures? They do? Really? You know,
I just learned a year and a half ago. So,
yeah, you see a perfect example. So I don't know. I don't think it's something that would be like a sellout, but at first maybe. But yeah, I can see certain things definitely selling. You know, it's certain things definitely appealing to people. But you know, Ziploc bags and things like that. I don't think they're on a Star Wars plateau yet. I don't think things like that would sell.
I talk trash, but I'll be the first one to have the Ziploc bags.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. You know, hey, look at mine, you know.
Babe, I'm working Saturdays. I need them goddamn Ziploc bags.
It's crazy.
I honestly think it'll be the movie that makes or breaks it. If they do the movie well and it's received well, you know, like a – it's got to hit. The movie has to hit. It can't be like the first movie. You know,
yeah, it can't
be a flop. If the movie comes out and then, you know, it's like whole, you know, people that haven't seen it or they're like, okay, well, what's this? Or, you know, younger people in the catch on and it's done well, like a Game of Thrones style type dark.
Yeah.
Well put together. Then I can see it, a resurgence in it. Okay. Well,
yeah, I
people
definitely
that never
see that
saw
too.
It. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely see that happening. If they do that and catch the eye of new people and new viewers and people who, you know, I watched it, a cartoon as a kid, but, you know, they haven't seen it since. And I can see that pulling them right back in, you know.
That's the resurgence I'm looking for.
Yeah, it's something
that
like that.
That kind of resurgence.
I can see if the movie is done the right way like that, hell yeah, I can see things. Then bring on the Ziploc bags and the condoms and the coffins, things like that, you know.
We're going Kiss style.
Exactly. Hell yeah. You get Gene Simmons making
Gene Simmons a market.
we'll
have air guitar strings.
Imagine that. Yeah.
That's an actual product he has out. It's a pack of air guitar strings. Yes. Yes. I'm dead serious. He has air guitar strings for sale. That man will sell anything.
Jesus. Yeah. I knew that when they came out of coffins. I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
But that's
the kind of positive resurgence I want to see.
But that's the thing someone like me expects. That's what I'm expecting because, like, you know, all the talk about it. I don't even pay attention to it. Give me something solid. Nope. Give me a 30 second. I don't even care what it is. Just a boot. You know, someone walking. Don't even show anything. Something.
I want to see Battle Cat and Orko. Let's go.
If they do Orko well and Battle Cat doesn't talk, I'm all for it.
Correct.
I am all for it. But no, I need solid stuff right now. It's been so many years of we're getting this or this is person's involved and this script is made and we're waiting for that. I don't even care. I don't even want to know nothing about it. Just give me something solid. At this point in the game, I mean, I'm going to go no matter what. And depending on how good it is how many times I'm going to go back to see it.
Correct.
So that's the thing. But they got to do a really good job on it. If they really want to make the impact on people and expand and, you know, be like Germany and just
go for another 30
every
years.
Country.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just get crazy, man. I mean, and it's not that hard to do. Like, if HBO can do it with Game of Thrones, come on.
Walking Dead,
you're making a movie. That's a TV series. Yeah. So if you're going to invest into a movie company, a movie, and then get a – no. I mean, now, this is the thing, too, is, like, the CGI. Now,
oh, my God. That can ruin it right there.
My thing is you had three original Star Wars made in, you know, 70s, early 80s, and then you had those, you know, part 1, 2, 3 that came out 10, 15 years ago and completely CGI'd up the ass, and it totally destroyed it. Destroyed the whole entire, like, I don't even count that as Star Wars movies. I count the newer ones better, you know?
The 3 to me had the best feeling of a Star Wars movie. When I saw 3, the darkness of it, they brought back the
look.
That
was good. Yeah.
That to me was the first two were garbage, but they were Star Wars, so I watched them a couple times.
Oh, yeah, me too.
But having Anakin go in and just wipe out the kids. I mean, I'm not for wiping out the kids.
I know, yeah. Yeah, but
that had a feeling. That started coming back to the feel of Star Wars.
But here we'll go make the podcast into Star Wars. I mean, I waited 20 years to see to see Darth Vader, and then he says, Padme, no. I mean, come on. I was like, this is BS, man, you know?
I hear you.
But the CGI, I mean, you can do it. But do it well and don't do too much of it. Like the newer Star Wars, everything was puppets, Muppets, whatever you want to call them. And they did it right, you know, and they did use CGI. Beautiful. They did use CGI, but they didn't overdo
it. They used it well. When you saw those X-Wings come across the water and when you saw the scope of like the Imperial ships in the sand.
Yeah, yeah.
That felt it felt epic. It felt like when you saw that, it was kind of like I got goosebumps. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
This is an effing Star Wars movie. This is
exactly what I was going to just say. J.J. Abrams has it. I'm back. You know, and that's what I want in a He-Man movie. And I totally see. It's not something that cannot be done.
No,
but they just if you make it simple, and
well,
but overdo it at the same time. Yeah, and just do it well and. You know, the first, I mean, I hope they plan on doing more than one, but
me too.
Plan on doing just one. So don't space yourself out or make too much of a lead up for another one. I would base the movie on the movie. Just keep it well written story for a 2.5 hour, 3 hour movie would be great.
That'd be freaking phenomenal.
Yeah, that would be, you know, like Lord of the Rings. It'd be awesome.
Oh, my God. But, that's what I'm saying. They can pull it off.
That's what I expect. I mean, that's the quality that I'm looking for, something like that. I don't want some half-ass, horrible written thing, it's CGI in your face throughout the whole entire thing. I think it would ruin everything about it, and I think it might even turn people off from the property. I mean,
correct.
I mean, I don't know.
I can understand how it could be tough. Like you said, Lord of the Rings was a linear kind of story. It had three parts, main characters, and it followed a path. Yeah. You know, same thing. Game of Thrones. It's episodic. It goes through, follows the characters, a little more expansive. I think the issue when it comes to Masters of the Universe, it's an entire filmation line of how many hundreds of episodes. Like, how do you where do you focus the story? Like, there's no like set path. You could go many directions. You got to have that one person that has a vision and says, "Hey, this is what I see. This is what sparks. Let's take a route and follow that. Let's follow this for this movie. You know, we could go to, you know, Cishir. We could do all these different things. There's all these characters, all these different things that are in Masters of the Universe." But
the thing with the thing that I see with a good first movie is that, like I said, focus just on that plot, that storyline. You can mention Etheria or She-Ra or
Hordak,
or even just end it with Hordak's face or something. You know, like as that thing that either punches you in the face or hooks you. Yeah, you know. Or at the same time, does both, and you're just like, I can't wait for the next one. But you don't want too much information, too many things thrown at you at one time, and then you just
like those early Marvel movies.
Like, what is going on? Yeah, you know, like it's crazy. You don't want too much stuff. Like, but then the thing is also is you have so many different versions of He-Man. You have the sword and sorcery. Then you have the science, and then.
Yep.
I mean, I'm the sword and sorcery guy. I want to see the Alcaela version of barbarian. And
the barbarian, yes, that's what I
want
to say.
That's what I want. I want to see something like that. And I think that would be a really good movie. I was just going to say, I don't want it to be like 2002, the scientific things like that. But
I'd be okay with a little, you know, like you said, if it goes back to that barbarian Conan style, I'd be okay with them taking a little liberty, you know, taking away, you know, giving them some furs or something, you know, doing some things that, you know, just taking a little of the magic away a little bit, you know, and making it a little more realistic, you know, I don't know. Like I said, that's why I keep thinking Game of Thrones with that darkness and that cold feeling. But you're so enraptured by it because it was like this great story. So I really hope that they get that right.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I'm feared is the story. If you have a good story, that will make a good movie.
The first movie was absolutely. I was so excited as a kid, so excited. I'm like a He-Man movie, a Masters Universe movie, and it was ruined instantly in the first 1 minute of the film. Like I had that. I can still remember the feeling. I was like disappointed because what do you see in the first minute of the film that you never see He-Man do? He-Man has his sword. In the first minute of the movie, he's got a goddamn laser gun. I'm like, He-Man doesn't shoot people. He's got his, that instantly ruined the movie for me. Like, I took that feeling of, this is a character I know and love, and they took that liberty and said, let's give him a gun and start shooting some people. I'm like, come on, man. You just took the entire basis you built up for the movie and cut it down.
Yeah, that's true.
It broke my heart, man. Sadly, it broke my heart as a little kid.
They definitely screwed up that. I mean, there was a lot of things that. But, if you watch the director's cut and you listen to the commentary, there's things that couldn't have been done, money issues, this and that. There's a book out about it. I read the book.
The fight scene at the end was like a minute long. They had like two hours to film it.
Yeah, I actually spoke to Gary about it. And, he even said, he's like, the movie was a disaster, but it was a beautiful disaster. There were so many things that was supposed to be that just couldn't be, and so we had to improvise and I mean, like Wildor, instead of Orko. So and they couldn't do the transformation scene, so they gave him the friggin' laser, it's crazy, man.
Quick side note, when you say Gwildor, I couldn't stand Gwildor in the movies. I couldn't stand the little figure, the vintage. But Cassandra won a Gwildor in a waffle. Yeah. It's absolutely beautiful. Like the classics version is gorgeous. I actually want one. The
classics version is nice.
Dude, he's awesome.
Cool. Yeah,
it's cool. It's a cool figure.
Yeah, he's cool. I mean, the thing with that is that you got to accept him for what he is. I mean, he's part of it now, and you got to take it in. And it's funny that you talk about Gwildor. When they were talking about bringing in the new adventures into the classics, and they were doing the bios and stuff.
Yep.
I came up with the idea, use Gwildor and the Cosmic Key into bringing in the mutants and the guardians, bring those guys in that way.
Yeah.
And the writer, Jack, the guy who created New Adventures and did the writing, saw my idea, and he reached out to me and he says, I'm going to Mattel with your idea. I'm like, what do you mean? He says,
that's awesome.
I think that you have a beautiful idea and I want to go further with it. And I was like, by all means,
hell yeah.
So he did, but Scott, the guy who wrote all the bios, he didn't let anybody else write anything, and he wanted to do his own thing. He basically said no. But I thought it was a cool way of using Gwildor, making him more
relevant.
Relevant, yeah, and the Cosmic Key more relevant and that's how you bring He-Man back and forth and all these other guys and stuff, and then that's how you get him to Eternia with everybody else, So that was what I did, and like I said, Jack read it and he couldn't get over it, and he went to Mattel with it and pitched it. But like he said that Scott, whatever the frick his name is, he already wrote the bios and he's not changing them, even though, it was a good idea.
We may need to have a Scott bashing session.
Yeah. that's an easy thing with me.
I think we got a topic for the next podcast. I'm going to read up on this guy and find out who he is. I may need to reach out to him, and we might get him on here and talk about this. I remember you. the Scott gentleman who shot you down with the bios.
No, we don't. We don't want him on this show. He wouldn't last 10 seconds.
You got to rein me in sometimes. I get out there and I start.
Yeah, no, he's a. Yeah, he Scott Nylick. He's the guy who did. He wrote all the bios and he created Maddie, you know, quote unquote, supposedly. And, you know, he's the guy who wrote classics and he was a huge toy collector. But meanwhile, he didn't know anything about anybody. And it was crazy. The one thing with him, though, is he was on that toy hunting show with that jerk. He goes and I can't remember his name now. I had it out with him at one of the cons. Told him he's ripping off the community and this and that.
We gotta get you live at some of these cons.
Oh, it's funny. Yeah, he was on that show, and it's fun. This is the huge question debate. You know, Wonder Bread He-Man never existed. But now you have this big, huge Mattel executive that just made this huge new toy line, all this stuff. He goes on a TV show, The Toy Hunter, gets the guy, The Toy Hunter, to track down a Wonder Bread He-Man.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, there's still no evidence or anything that this toy was ever created, never existed. Everyone's fake. They're all bootlegs. Nobody knows why, how, where it came from. It's insane how everybody has amnesia.
I remember it was a mail away.
I think it was. Yeah, I believe it was a
mail away. You had a mail away for the figure, and it was I had him at one point.
I still have him. I still have him.
Yes,
I got him. It's.
I wish I had mine.
he was definitely a mail away. I remember that. I remember it was definitely. I think it was Quick. I want to say it was Nestle Quick or, you know, the chocolate milk. I think it was from there, but I could be wrong. But then why the hell would everybody call him Wonder Bread? I mean, I remember.
Well, I think it was through Wonder Bread.
I think because there was a Wonder Bread Hostess store not that far from my house when I was a kid. And I remember going there and they had something about He-Man in there. But, you know, I was a kid, so I can't remember. I mean, all the toys in the 60s and stuff, so.
I only remember having because we collected Kool-Aid points at the same time.
Yeah.
So it was Kool-Aid points, and I got this He-Man from, I believe it was from the Wonder Bread. Again, I don't profess to be the most knowledgeable person because I got the toys, I played with them, I threw the comic books away, I played with the toys. I'm just now getting back into the lore of it and all of that, so. I'm sure there's comments probably somewhere that are like, you guys are idiots. It came with bread, you bastards. I remember specifically it was like a mail away.
Yeah.
My mom and dad, you know, it came in the mail. I was like, holy, this isn't He-Man. He's got brown hair and he's wearing, you know.
Yeah.
He's got an axe.
I think what happened was my theory is that I think Mattel had the rights to make a Conan figure, which didn't go the right way. They lost the rights of making Conan, so they went to He-Man instead. That's what my theory is that they that the Wonder Bread He-Man was like the first original He-Man figure ever made with different color hair and everything because you're supposed to be Conan.
Yep.
And it didn't go through, and they kept the figures that they made because they didn't want to get rid of them or whatever, and that's what they did. They just, you know, a mail away, and like a variant.
It's a good theory. It's a good theory.
That's what I think that happened. Because other than that, how the hell can nobody know or remember how this thing came about? And then, like I said, you have this guy that's like a vice president or executive, whatever, for Mattel, and he goes out and hires another guy, an outsider. I mean, when this guy has access to the vaults, you know?
Yeah.
So I was like crazy about it. I just couldn't stop thinking about it. Like, I don't know. It's just insane that this guy, like I said, he's an executive. He has full permission to the vaults because I remember that they were going to the vaults for the bios and getting ideas and unproduced figures and stuff like that to bring back and make. So he had full access. So he either knows and is like sworn to secrecy, but you know, now is a good time to ask him because he doesn't work for Mattel anymore, and maybe whoever's on his good graces can ask him. Maybe he would tell the truth. But other than that, it's just crazy that nobody remembers this. No, nobody. I mean, everybody in the He-Man community cannot remember decisively where the figure came from, and that's it. Just boggles my mind.
Well, now's a good time, like you said, we're getting a lot of information about, this was the other cool thing I think we talked about last episode, about like the vintage line and character creation. It's now with Super 7, you're starting to see, like I said, Brian Flynn and that team is starting to bring that stuff out to light. The new Eldor, you're starting to see like, well, these were character designs. Oh, we have this figure that wasn't completely produced. We have a body.
Oh, I'll tell you something after the show. I know figures that are coming out. Brian told me. just reminded me. I know.
This is something that you may not know about Ozone, but he knows everybody. Everybody.
Yeah, it's sick. It's sick. I know. When he told me these guys, I blew my lid. I was like, "Holy cow!" I'm like, "Really?" I'm like, "He's like Brian." Well,
I can't
I'm
wait
like,
to hear.
Bri?
It's like insider information.
Yeah, man, I'm at New York Comic Con, man. It's crazy when he told me. I screamed like a girl. I was like,
You're like, I talked to him for like an hour. I'm like, all right, well, like, what do you got? it's sick, man. It's like I said, it's scary on one venue that like or avenue that was commercialization of it, but then it's so cool to see all the stuff I grew up with, and it was a toy, but I loved it.
Now
I get to see the history behind it, the creators, the artwork, the thought process to me. So it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating.
What fascinates me is that it's like time has gone, like so much time has went by, 30 years, more than 30 years, and they still have all this stuff. Like that last book we got, the encyclopedia, whatever it's called.
Holy
You know, I was just, you know, going through
I don't
the
even have
day.
Them yet.
You don't have that book?
No, I don't have any of the books yet.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a little behind, man.
Oh man, that last book that they made is a book to have if you're a fan, man. There's so much information in there; it's ridiculous, and not just from America. It's they got like all these characters and information from Brazil and Italy, and I think Germany, and sick. It's sick. It's so much information that you would think by now would be lost or forgotten, but it's not. You know, it's
coming back.
It's crazy.
Coming back.
And the other guys to watch out for is the Power and Honor Foundation. My buddies Josh and Emilio, man. Those
you
guys
were mentioning
got some
that,
stuff. Those guys got stuff that's supposedly coming out. So we got to get Josh on here.
Emilio was the Santa Lucia. He was part of the 2000X stuff, right? Yeah.
Yes,
did the comic books. One of my favorite resurgences.
the MVC. Until Mattel put the restrictions on them, that sucked that they did that. You know, we would have got Illumina, and that cat that she had. Hopefully they get around to making her. That'd be great. Because that to me is a nod to that canon. Like I'm always pro Songster, because he's the only original character that they made for the Power Tour. So I want Songster made, because I think that canon or whatever, that element of Masters needs to be represented in the classics figures. So I think that they should make a Songster. Illumina they should make, even though Scott back in the day denied it. He said nothing will be made from MVC or whatever, and I believe he said something to that nature. I could be wrong, but I believe they should be made. I mean, they were out there at one point. They were
Those Michael Young productions were great.
Yeah. I you know, things like that. I think, you know, you got to represent every canon, every element.
That's a hell of a knee. That was your knee. I hear what you're saying, man. The 2000X got me reined back in, and it hit right around the same time the commemoratives came out. I still remember walking into Walmart, going shopping. I was like 21, and I walked down the aisle, and I'm like, "That's effing He-Man."
Yeah,
like,
I basically had the same
Why are there
reaction.
He-Man everywhere? And I put everything in the cart, and I spent like $300, and I bought like 40 He-Man or like 20 He-Man.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. 2002, when the Target had the first He-Man Skeletor 2-pack, I remember seeing that, and I was just like, no. And I kept walking, and it was Christmas time, and I got it for Christmas. And I told my girlfriend at the time, I said, "You don't understand what you just did." She's like, "What?" She said, "I thought you wanted it."
Beef.
I said, "You just, yeah, exactly." And that just pulled me right back into He-Man. And from that point on, I haven't stopped buying things.
I did the same thing when I saw them. They were in Toys R Us. I bought the 5-packs. I bought the He-Man with the Battle Cat, the Skeletor with the Panther. And then I bought all the 2000X. And like I said, I was like 22, 23. And I had an entire bedroom. All my walls were covered. And I'm living in upstate New York, Saratoga. I'm out partying every night. And I was in between jobs at one point. So I was like, shit, I'm going to sell all these He-Men. So what I do, I bring them to a pawn shop, and I think I sold everything for like $80.
Really?
To go out drinking one night. I punched myself right in the D right now.
You kept them in the package, or you took them out?
Everything. Everything was sealed.
Nice.
Everything.
Oh, man.
I was mint on card back then.
Yeah. That's
But
that's
it hurts
painful.
Me. The that's, amount of stuff yeah. I had. And then I got rid of because I wanted to go out drinking one night.
Oh man, yeah, it's crazy, man. Yeah. I wonder if they ever resold them. You should go.
I'm
back.
Sure they
Maybe
did
get a good deal.
By now. I'm sure they did. I'm sure they were gone. That was God. I'm what 37 now. That was 22.
Jesus.
15 years ago.
You had the commemoratives too.
I had the cats. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I had them sitting on top of my like TV shelves and shit. It was great.
The only thing I regret is that I was at JCPenney's. They had like that 10-pack.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it at the time, and I was like, you know, I should have bought it. And now it's like $600.
You're not kidding, yeah.
Oh man.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I have all the 5-packs and the Panther and Skeletor and about
we saw your room. We saw the mess. We're
no, they're not in the mess. They're on the other side.
We here at the Great Unboxing and Masters of the Galaxy are still waiting for you to come live and show us some toys.
I actually just got my other shelf, so I got a this weekend. The weekend that just passed, I was going to do it, but it was my daughter's birthday, so I couldn't do it then. But this weekend coming up, I got to finish cleaning that room.
I got to bring up a couple things that we're going to be doing.
What's that?
Because I didn't talk to you this week. You were sick and I was traveling, so.
I hear you.
We spoke about it last podcast, and I think it got cut off, but we're going to do Masters of Metal. I'm going to kick it off on Masters of the Galaxy. Yep. I told you we're going to bring out. I'm going to gather up a couple of my favorite pieces of Masters of the Universe memorabilia or figures. I'm going to sit down with a guitar, a little drum track.
And you going to sing to them?
No, we're just going to write some metal. And those figures are going to inspire that because I'm a metal guy. I'm a toy guy. And we're going to mix the two. I want to write some music like Masters of Metal, baby. Let's just do some solos, do some something. Be a 15, 20-minute thing. But we're going to hop on and do it. We're going to get you on here to play some guitar. We're going to do it.
Let's do it. That'd be great if there was a way that we could mix them together, play together.
Oh, we can. We can. I got all the stuff. We're going to figure it out. But we're going to do Masters of Metal here on Masters of the Galaxy. Between the Great Unboxing and Masters of the Galaxy, I don't know if you saw it, we're going to do She-Ra on the Shelf.
Yes. I wanted you to speak more about that, be more clear, because it's kind of confusing, I think, for people that,
basically,
that read it. So.
Basically, I posted up in a persnickety mode the other night. Cassandra brought up the idea. She wanted to do like an Elf on the Shelf type thing. She picked She-Ra. I said, well, all right, I'll throw out a thing. We can throw it on Masters of the Galaxy. We can throw it on the – doesn't matter what group you're from. You can participate in it. You want to post your pictures. I'm going to come up with a prize for it. you know, if you want to throw something in, that's cool. So basically for starting, I think it's right after Thanksgiving. They start Elf on the Shelf. We're doing She-Ra on the Shelf.
Yep.
Post your pictures up. I'm going to put a folder up on Masters of the Galaxy. It's going to be the She-Ra on the Shelf folder. All you got to do is drop your picture in there. You can look through them. I'll look through them. Abman, all the members, Cassandra, we'll look at them and we'll take a vote and we'll pick a winner, you know, after Christmas or something. The best She-Ra on the Shelf. Keep it. All I'm asking is we keep it about PG-13.
Hey, can't have to ask for anything more.
And no, you know?
You could take as many pictures as you want.
Absolutely.
All day, if you want, whatever. You can move around the house. So have fun with that. I'm going to do it. I have the
we're going to do it. I think Cassandra and I are going to try to kick it off. You should do it too. We should kick it off.
Yeah, I'm going to use the deformed plush one.
Nice.
I'm going to use that one cuz I don't know, it's cool. That's clean. It's clearer cuz the She-Ra figure I have is all beat up and doesn't have the cape and all that stuff. The vintage one. So
that's the great thing. You can use any She-Ra figure. Yeah, any She-Ra figure.
Yeah.
It's good. This ties into the other thing. Cassandra and I are going to use. We have a bootleg China She-Ra. We waited like 90 days for this thing. So this gave me this idea for the unboxing site. I'm going to throw up and I'll split it between groups. I'll do unboxing, you know, live on unboxing and live on Galaxy. Dual cam. We're doing Toys from the Hood. And we're doing Toys from the Hood. So what Toys from the Hood is, because Galaxy is, you know, Masters Universe and a few other toy lines, Great Unboxing is all toy lines. It's basically all the junk toys you ever got, all the bootleg toys you ever seen, all the shit you can buy for a buck, five and below. Cassandra and I are going to come on, and we're going to open up these toys. We're going to buy some. You can buy them now. I'm going to bring some back from the past, and we're going to do Toys from the Hood. We're going to open them up, review them, take a look at them. So you're going to see that coming up.
That's going to be sweet.
We're going to do a lot of fun stuff, man. So, like I said, let's keep rocking and rolling. These podcasts are fun. I love doing this. Galaxy's a great site.
Sounds like it's going to be a bright future, man. As long as everybody has fun doing it, that's absolutely all I can ask. The more the merrier. The more people do it, get involved. I think it's just going to make it even more fun. Competition, I think, brings something, an element to the game. You know. And you kind of want to one up someone. You know, you see somebody do this, you're like, it gives you an idea to do that. So
absolutely, fun competition.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, it's always nice to get something at the end if you're the best. So, everybody get involved. I think it's going to be cool.
Like you said, it's, you know, we'll kick off these ideas and stuff. But, hey, man, it's a community-wide thing. Just because I'm doing Masters of Metal doesn't mean you can't hop on with your drums and do it. I want to see everybody in the groups, man. I want to see from all groups. Let's do it, man. Hop on with your She-Ra on the Shelf. Show me your toys from the hood, man. Let's go. This is what I got. Let's see what you got, you know? Let's involve everybody.
That's a cool idea. Unite the groups, man. We're all in the community together. We're all friends. We all know each other.
It's actually always my goal, man. Like I said, I do this because it's fun.
Yeah.
And when it stops being fun is when I stop doing it. So I'm having a blast. I love all the guys I know in the groups and all the girls. I can't thank everybody enough. You've inspired all this creativity in me, and it just keeps flowing out. So I'm trying to share it. But I'm not trying to spread myself too thin where I got 30 things going on. I got the Motu movie night.
Be careful. You don't want to go too deep because then you're crazy. Every second you got to do something.
Exactly. So,
but no, it's and if you got ideas out there, guys, don't be afraid to share them. Let's get things out there and
post
things going, man. I mean, there's always you know, there's only so much time in the day to do things, but the time that you have, make it count. So let's make it fun, you know,
and do
some crazy things.
Like you said, I love seeing people's ideas. It sparks my ingenuity
It definitely creates the juices getting flowing and make you have ideas and do things and see when you see things, you makes you do things differently or better whatever.
Just want to be productive. Want to be part of the society. You want to be part of the group. You want to do something. You want to contribute. Yeah. So it's got me going, man. So. I got a He-Man room and a website out of it, so I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, and he got a family too. So
yeah, I know, and I got a family that collects He-Man with me. So it's I can't thank the groups enough. I can't thank all the people involved, man. Can't thank you enough. So
right back at you, man. I feel the love.
Look at it's 8 o'clock. Feel the love. It's 8 o'clock. We bullshitted all the way through this hour.
I know. Another show. Well done.
You want to want to wrap this up? Or you want to keep going?
Yeah, no, let's wrap it up. My stomach is killing me.
All right, man. I'll get you out of here.
Yeah. So, yeah. Thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for all the people watching. Thanks for Doug. And everybody have a happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
And get involved with all the ideas this guy's coming up with, because it's it's going to be one hell of a future, man. I'm telling you. It's going to be fun.
They're group ideas, man. Like I said, I throw them out there. If it sticks, it sticks. If it doesn't, hey, somebody one-up me, man. Give me a better idea.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. So, all right, guys. I just want to say thanks for paying attention and tune in next week, because John will probably have 15 more ideas that we're going to have to follow and do and get involved.
Ozone, do you know this is the longest stretch of time that I haven't said this?
Boom.
Ebay.com.
You just did.
I had to.
What is it? Because
I know someone out there was like, yo, he hasn't said it in like an hour. That's it. That's all I'm going to say, guys. Thank you very much, Brian, Masters of Galaxy. Thank you. Thank you, all the fans. Thanks, all the groups involved, everybody I know. Doug, Pop Culture Network. Dude, take us out, Brian.
I don't have, like, some music right now, but do-do-do-do-do-do. All right, guys. I'll see you next time, man. Rock on.
Have a great night and a great holiday. Take care.
Later.